The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, talk, sports. Yes, back after a rare sick day on Friday. I take very few of those, but after the show on Thursday, it's like, yeah, this just isn't going to work. You will hear me close the mic occasionally. Cough much, much better today, though, between the Z-Pak that I got from the doctor on Friday. And if you've ever gotten these, they're called pearls. I don't remember what the actual thing is. These little cough suppressant things. My daughter got a prescription of those. Didn't work for her at all. I think that was sometime last year. But they are working pretty effectively for me. This is about as close to normal as I felt in about 3 weeks. In fact, one of the things I did yesterday is go through old email. I got an email on February 6th from a listener. Sorry, you're not feeling well. So I've been dealing with this for quite a while. I think it just finally ended up being bronchitis. I think it was a little bit of everything until it settled into bronchitis. But definitely feel as much as myself as I have in a long time. Now, as a result, it's bad enough on a weekend, but I had a Friday to boot. So I know we're not going to get to everything. I'm going to start here in just a minute, trying to get through as much as I possibly can. But that is why we have the after show video, which, of course, has been gone for a while. We had technical issues on Thursday, didn't do one on Friday. It'll be back today, and it'll be as jam-packed as any as you will ever view. Again, it'll be available, the Bader blog, sometime after the show at jerrybadershow.com. And there's going to be a lot on there today. Let's try to get to three things here in about the 15 minutes that I have right here. Item one. I have been talking a lot about how local authorities, school officials, are reluctant to use the G word. That would be gang. There were two incidents that law enforcement officers seemed to feel were gang-related. And in at least one case, school officials, gang-related. But they just didn't seem to want to say that. Now, I stressed, here is my position. I don't want to overreact to what the gang situation is in Green Bay, but I don't, or the metropolitan area, but I don't want to underreact to it either. And my position is, while not wanting to overreact, I think there are those in the media, those in law enforcement who want to underreact. And my definition of that is to pretty much suggest that there are no gangs here without saying that. I really believe that was the initial reaction to the Preble incident. I concede that it changed as the days went on. Then there was another incident in Howard at a house party. Because law enforcement are saying there's at least a gang element to this, the newspaper did what I thought was a pretty good story yesterday, local paper. How big is gang problem? Recent incidents raise questions in Green Bay area. Here's what I would say. The honest answer is, we don't know. Is it growing? I don't think we know. My suspicion is that it is. When you have two incidents like this that are described as gang-related, it makes you wonder, well, is the problem growing? I don't know. And really, that was my entire point through all of this, and I think that's the general theme of the story that the paper ran yesterday, even when they talked to local law enforcement. Some say nothing has really changed in the last 10 years. I don't know if I believe that. On the other hand, I don't have evidence to the contrary. Could this just be a blip and then we won't hear about any other gang problems for a while? Yes, that is entirely possible. But there is a gang presence. And there is also a good point that law enforcement makes, that you do have local gangs that label themselves with the names of some pretty notorious gangs. Now, that might mean they're nothing more than wannabes and have no real affiliation or association with those gangs. But that doesn't mean you just dismiss them as harmless. And I think sometimes that's what happens. We're not talking the real Latin Kings here, you know. Well, so what? If they want to be, if they aspire to be, and they emulate behavior with a larger, more organized entity, even if they're not directly linked to them, so what? That's what I mean by don't underreact. I also agree we shouldn't overreact, but don't underreact. What I saw initially, I thought was an underreaction. And again, I think the paper states this very, or makes the proper framing of the story here, is that we don't know if it's a growing problem and really how big it is. Therefore, it should be examined. Item two. You know the old expression that something is conspicuous by its absence? In other words, you notice something by virtue of it not being there. If Jason came to work today without his wheelchair, that would be conspicuous. I think I would notice that. Now, I'll admit, I'm not the most observant person in the world. I'm pretty observant. If you came to work without a wheelchair, I think I would notice that. Your wheelchair would be conspicuous by its absence. I think that's one of the best analogies I could come up with. I mean, the most obvious one is if a guy's not wearing pants, but that one's so old and unimaginative. I like the wheelchair one much better. Although, if you weren't wearing a cap, that'd be a close call, too. Yeah, because you do wear a cap most days. I left the house without my glasses on one day, and my wife didn't notice. You would think that would have been pretty conspicuous by its... You know what I noticed? Yeah, I couldn't see. Yeah, I can't drive this way. It really was. It really was. I went running back into the house. There is something that in this area, politically, that should be conspicuous by its absence, but nobody has really noticed this. And in fact, I reached out to some people who are well-connected politically on either side of the aisle, and the reaction to several of them was, oh, I really hadn't noticed that either. There is something something you would consider to be missing in the local political landscape. And yet, several of them are like, oh, hell yeah. That didn't even occur to me. You know what it is? It's February 24th. And at this, and I consider this a late date, at this late date, there is not one scintilla of a hint of a sign of a Democratic challenger to Republican Congressman Reid Ribble in November. Now, it's possible there's a credible Democratic candidate out there who is intentionally flying under the radar. If that were the case, then they would have to be a pretty big name or pretty big pockets or both. Now, when I say a challenger, I mean a credible challenger with a snowball's chance in hell of winning. Jamie Wall 2 years ago wasn't even that. So it's entirely possible they'll put up some sacrificial lamb. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, I can tell you that there are at least two people that I know of who are well-connected on the Democratic side who see nobody coming at this moment. This, I think, would be a stunning turn of events for a congressman who, in the midst of the shutdown in fall, was a public policy polling survey, that's a Democratic-leaning group, said that he would, if the midterms were held back then, he could very well have lost. Around that same week, again, this was all in the shadow of the shutdown, Huffington Post had him as one of 37 Republican House members who were vulnerable. Boy, how times change. Well, how did this happen? The reality is, Reid has been pragmatic. He took a vote concerning ending the shutdown that he knew was going to alienate the conservative base. The reality is, Reid Ribble represents the purplest of districts in Wisconsin. It can go left. It can go right at a whim. It can go Steve Kagan like that. It can go Reed Ribble like that. It is razor close. I will tell you, Reed knew he was alienating the conservative base. He's made no secret of that. I'm not talking out of school. But he believes it was the right vote. You also saw, while I was sick, President Obama peeling back, reneging on things that were to be in his next budget. And this is being characterized as both sides now going into caution mode from here on out. I think this favors Republicans because the left can't go into caution mode about Obamacare. And if everything else is going to be off the table, then this does become about Obamacare. But I will say this again. I think Republicans can get away with this pragmatism one more time. If they get the House, if they retain the House and keep the Senate in November, and they don't make good on this stuff, and by this stuff, I mean being true to conservative principles. What they're saying is give us a chance. We don't have power. Give us a chance. It looks like that might work for them. If it does, I guarantee this will be the last chance. And because Reed Ribble had to worry more about moderates and independents in a very purple district does not mean the Tea Party movement is dead at all. That's one of the things I think that's being misreported and misrepresented here. One, even those who are considered moderates in the conservative movement have been pulled to the right by the Tea Party movement. Did it, in the persona of Ted Cruz, overplay its hand last year? I think it did. But that doesn't mean it's dead. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But unless there is a considerable candidate out there that is just keeping their powder dry, and again, I don't know that, but if there is, I think it'll be very interesting. There's a story that I haven't been following, and I'm not in really a position to talk about it today, but I just want to say that I want to do a little more thinking and a little more thought collecting on this, but I want you to know that I'm going to do a segment on it. In fact, I don't know if I've ever, I think I blogged on this. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the air. It's the case in Appleton that's going to be going to trial soon of how district officials handled the case of a special education teacher who battered disabled students. And how she was kept in the classroom for a couple of days after the allegation surfaced, and how school district officials allegedly obstructed justice, and that's the charge against one of them coming up in May. Now, oftentimes I'm critical of Gannett Media. Gannett Media did a very good investigative piece. Jim Collar writes for the Post-Crescent of Appleton. There's a piece in today's Green Bay paper. I don't really have time to give this the attention it deserves, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I do want to later this week, or I don't know, you know what? Maybe, tell you what, maybe we will do this in the after show video today. I can't decide. But at some point, I'm going to spend more time on this. But I think Collar's piece is an excellent study, although he doesn't say this, and the paper doesn't say this, of why Act 10 was needed. The Appleton School District denies that they went into circle the wagons, protect a bad employee, teacher mode. It's exactly what they did. This is precisely what they did. And to this day, they still don't seem to see that. By the way, this is from 3 years ago that the incidents first surfaced. They still don't see that they tried to either protect a bad teacher, protect the district from bad publicity, or both. I think it's both. Now, they may have done the first in order to do the second, but in any case, I think they did both. I think this reflects horribly on the Appleton School District. And I do want to get into the particulars, and I will on the air at some point. I think this trial for the one who's facing charges is set for May for obstructing justice in this case. It was a horrific series of events that happened, and they tried to sweep them under the rug. It's clear that's what they did. They deny that, but it's clear to me that's what they did. These are the things that are much more difficult to do with the changes that have come with Act 10 and why they were so critically, critically important. All right, as I mentioned, I wasn't feeling all that well. Well, I took Friday off. If you listen to the show Friday, I was hacking my brains out. I had to close the mic every couple of seconds. Went to the doctor, got an antibiotic pack, cough suppressant, doing well. And by the weekend, I mean, I was still kind of in the sleep mope mode, but doing much better. And then I got to tell you, I stepped on the scale yesterday, and I was doing a lot better. I'm down 25 pounds since I started Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. And I'm going to be on it. I'm kind of in a transition period here. And then I'll be on the full program for another month. And I get a lot of questions. Well, was it a New Year's resolution? What was your motivation? What's all involved? I want to tackle that one. What was my motivation? No, it really was. My motivation was this. I have been fighting this weight battle, and like many of you, my whole life. I have won at times. I have lost at times. I lost a bunch of weight 25 years ago. When I started Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, I had put all but 10 of it, or about 15 of it, back on over that 25 years. I needed more than just a diet. I needed something that could help me change the way I eat permanently. And Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, as I learned about it, I think is something that could do that. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not anywhere near a kid anymore. It was easier to lose weight, try to keep it off, do some exercise, even though it would slowly pile back on. It's really, you've heard me talk about it on the air. I was trying this thing. I was trying that thing. I lost quite a few weight 4 years ago. I've put all of that and change back on. I know you've been through this too. I know you have if you're someone who is interested in a weight loss program. So call Dr. Litwin, 920-268-1386. Again, it's not a diet. Exactly what it is, I will let him explain. You get a free assessment. Maybe it is right for you. Maybe it isn't. I wasn't guaranteed. A friend in the office here had tried it, so I checked it out. There were no guarantees I was going to be a fit. You do the little assessment, you watch the video, and then you find out if it's right for you. So call Dr. Jason Litwin, 920-268-1386 for that free assessment. I will tell you a number of listeners have, and it's working out for them. Maybe it will work out for you, but you don't know if you don't call. Call Dr. Litwin, 920-268-1386. A big, big stack to get to after 9 o'clock. I do want to deal with the fallout, and it has been fallout from the email, how the national media is handling it, the John Doe emails, and how Team Walker is handling it. Diary of a Madman, also known as Graham Zelensky's Twitter feed. And Jason, I'll let you ponder this one. Would you like to see King Richard Petty race Danica Patrick? You would. We may find room for that somewhere in the show. It's 8:56.